So I think it's the Tshuva Tara. She wants to make a distinction between Trumas and Meiser versus Shemitah. In other words, we said the Gemara talks about whether we say Yesh Kinyan or Ein Kinyan. In other words, if a non-Jew owns land in Eretz Yisrael, let's assume the land retains its sanctity or not. The issue would be is whether the laws of Truma and Meiser versus Shemitah. So some want to make a distinction, sort of like what you're saying, that by Truma and Meiser, so it starts off, in other words, why do we have to take off Truma and Meiser? Because it's called Tevel. Like we have a mitzvah to take off Truma and Meiser. So then that creates a category of Tevel. But Tevel is what it's called when you can't eat the produce. But it starts off with the mitzvah. So therefore, if it starts off with the mitzvah, so therefore, the non-Jews have the Sheva mitzvahs, but they don't have a mitzvah of Trumas and Maisa. So if it begins with the mitzvah, it's a mitzvah that creates the status of Tevel, which gives... And hence, a non-Jew, someone who's not obligated in Truma Meiser, there's no din of Tevel, like we explained last week by an Onain. That we know an Onain not only is putter from positive mitzvahs, but he's not allowed to do negative commandments. So we asked, how can he make a bracha before he eats? Because we know the Gemara says, Asa lohanos belo mazeh belo bracha. So that's some answer. The Eimek Bracha. Others, it's the mitzvah that creates the Isser. It's the mitzvah making a bracha creates the status of the Isser. So if I'm exempt from the mitzvah, there's no Isser either. The right to that. So by Truma Maisa, they want to argue it starts with the mitzvah. But by Shemitah, as you're saying, there's an Isser. It's a working karka, so it shouldn't make a difference. Yeah, that's the argument of the Tshuva Sarash. Right, that would be the argument of why in Shemitah would make a difference. So others would argue then perhaps no, maybe it's like the Ramban. That gets into what we were discussing also yesterday. If it's just an Isser Asse of working the land, you're right. But maybe there's a mitzvah of Shemitah that creates the status of... But that's in the Kudas HaMachlokas about Yesh Kinyan or Ein Kinyan, in terms of that. So I guess we'll continue from yesterday. So one of the major issues regarding the Heter Mechira, besides what we've been talking about, whether it makes a difference or not, whether even if you do sell the land, whether it takes away the Kedusha or Shvias, well, I didn't see my cup from Israel.
Oh, beautiful. You saved 10 cents.
So... the question is, because why should the Heter Mechira selling the land of Israel during Shemitah be such a controversial thing? After all, it's not new. Last I checked, most people sell the chametz before Pesach. So it might be a legal loophole, but it doesn't seem as controversial. In other words, it's controversial. There is some people who won't sell chametz gomer. Some have a custom, maker din halach as you can, but to some ones they won't sell like bread and cakes. Some say it was limited to commercial use. But let me tell you a secret. Even if you don't have, in the shtar mechira, it says chametz gomer, because if you don't have chametz, the whole sale's no good. So you have to have some... If you don't have any chametz, what are you selling exactly? But either way, some have a minhag, some say it's better not to, but the bottom line is, Klal Yisrael is involved in the Heter Mechira by Mechiras Chametz. Why would selling the land be any worse than, why would that be more controversial than selling chametz? And secondly, we also have it, the Gemara talks about it in another place. If you're a farmer, or if you own animals, and you have a bechor, a firstborn animal, that is, so when you have a Beis HaMikdash, you could bring it for a carbon, is what to do. The bottom line, if you have a bechor today, you're stuck. You can't work, you can't do anything. So that what the Gemara even suggests in the Rishonim is you make a shutzvis with a guy, you sell it to a non-Jew, and you avoid the problem. So it's not like there's a new concept. So why should selling the land be more controversial than selling the animal? Going in shutzvis or selling the animal, we sell chametz every year. So, well, number one, there's one major difference. You know, we might have an answer to the difference, but because there is no Isser in the Torah anywhere of selling chametz to a guy. There's no Isser of selling a bechor to a non-Jew. However, there's a pasuk in the Torah, lo sechanein, was in Devarim, lo sechanein. The Gemara has three limudim on what the pasuk means. So one means is, again, how far we go. I'm only going to focus on the last one, but lo, about giving this praise. Basically, it's giving something for no reason to a guy. So one is talking about complimenting. Can I compliment? You know, a lot of times you're going to compliment your next to a neighbor, this, the person who's about to break your window. I mean, we usually have ulterior motives. But let's assume no, you're not looking for any payback. So therefore, this issue about, you know, saying this person's the best, whatever. I'm not saying it is, but that's what some people discuss it by. And then to about not giving compliments, they talk about not giving gifts. That always comes up during the holiday season. But, you know, that's the norm. So obviously the custom is to, or else you'll cause Ava, whatever the issues. The one we're focusing on is, it says you can't sell the land of Israel to non-Jews. So that's the interpretation we're focusing on. So by mechiras chametz, by selling a bechor, okay, so by hook or by crook, but no one says I can't do it. Is a pasuk in the Chumash telling me I can't sell land to a guy. So as in the Tziv writes, who is against the Heta Mechira, right? I think his question is from the bear to the lion. I say from the pan to the fire. Like, what are you gaining here? Like, what do I mean by the pan to the fire is, as we explained yesterday, Shemitah is only Drabbanan today. It's either only Drabbanan because the whole Kedushas HaAretz is only Drabbanan, or according to others who hold it's Daraisa, like the Rambam, Shemitah is only Daraisa when it leads up to Yovel. Since we're not counting Yovel today, so Shemitah is Drabbanan. Some say it's even less than Drabbanan, but let's call Shemitah Drabbanan today. So therefore, there's an Issa Daraisa to sell land to Israel. There's a rabbinical prohibition to work the land. So you know what I'll do? I'll violate the Issa Daraisa of selling the land to Israel so I can avoid violating the rabbinical prohibition. So the Nitziv doesn't go for it at all for that reason. But putting that aside, there's a biblical prohibition of selling land. So that's why it's controversial, because there's an issue. Like, it's not like you're doing, it's not something benign that is, okay, it's neutral, I'm doing it to avoid something. In other words, that's what people point out by, which gets into our discussion, which comes back to the fundamental bits of Shemitah. By Mechiras Chametz, by the Bechor, in other words, we're avoiding an Isser. What are we doing? As they say, by hook or by crook, I'm not violating an Aveira. So that's what the post can say. To avoid an Aveira, you can do any, you know, take any legal loophole you need. Just don't violate the Aveira. But by Shemitah, they're saying, you know, over here there is an Aveira. You're selling the land to a non-Jew. So therefore, again, that gets into whether Shemitah, you know, unless you want to say by Shemitah, I'm avoiding the Aveira also, that gets into whether Shemitah is merely an Isser Aseh, it's just to avoid work. Is that the mitzvah? No, the mitzvah is Achilas Peirah Shviya. So someone to point out that the major distinction is we have to deal with is there's a biblical prohibition of selling land to a non-Jew. So those who are proponents of the Heta Mechira, and there were many, and it came up in the late 1800s. It came up way before, but that's when the Jewish people in the 15th came back in mass, the Sephardi Jews especially came back and moved into Eretz Israel. So that's when it came up. And they asked Gedolim in Europe, Rabbi Yitzhak Elchanan, that's Yeshiva University. Rav Yitzchak Elchanan Spector, who was one of the post, the Gedolei Hador. So he had, you know, under the situation. And that's, see, Rav Kook gets named, he was just the byproduct of it. What I mean is he wasn't the one involved. Well, he was and he wasn't. In other words, he wasn't the one, he wasn't the originator, is the one, it happened to be the rabbi in Yafo, let's say like in Brooklyn, the rabbi of the young Israel, you're in charge of the Erev in Brooklyn, the rabbi of the different shuls, whatever the reason, they were the one of the first, they were, the rabbi there is in charge of a communal thing, but it's coincidental. So the rabbi of Yafo was in charge. Rabbi Rav Kook took the job, so he happened to inherit the job. So the first year, many gedolim they thought it was, you know, pikuach nefesh, shasad. Again, no one's pro. We don't start off, let's go sell the land. Everyone agrees. It's the ideal thing is to have the land rest and have food and eat and get the bracha. The shaila is whether it's possible today in terms of derech hateva and all that. So back then, many agree, like it was pikuach nefesh. If the farmers didn't make, the Jews would die. So obviously, if you think that, of course, there's nothing. You always debate how much of a shas at chak. Everyone agrees pikuach nefesh. You would do it. The question is, even if it's not pikuach nefesh, how much less than pikuach nefesh do you need in order to do it? So there were many who, in fact, there were many in Europe who said no. But then after the first year, I guess I think there was a story with Baron Rothschild or one of the Rothschilds. He actually started off in Germany, but he ended up in France. So he was, so I think the story goes there were a bunch of Jews who wanted to make Aliyah. This is like, so this is when there was nothing there. So they said, we have to go with a minion. You got to go. So he made the deal that he'll pay for all expenses and they'll support them. 10 people to move to, they even named a Moshav after him, after his wife who passed away. And so actually, when they were about to leave, 11 people showed up. So the shliach said, he only told me 10. He said, but let's say someone's sick and they can't come to Minyan. We can't just rely on 10 people. Let's at least have 11. So he ended up paying for 11. And he went what happened was, so it was coming up to a Shas HaShemitah. So I guess, you know, it wasn't like today, you can just get your answer. So basically what they used to do is if they needed a quick answer, they asked the Rav in Yerushalayim or wherever they were in Israel. But if it was the answer they could wait, they still sent their tshuvas back to the Gedolim in Europe to what to do. So I guess what happened was, I think the first year, whoever it was told them they shouldn't rely on the Heta Mechira. In other words, they should, you know, do it without it. And the Gedolim in Europe, what they didn't know was going to tell them to rely on the Heta Mechira. And what happened was, you know, and then a lot of people died, not only people, but animals, which are key in the farms. You can't work the, you know, you before they had the cats and the deer, you had any animals doing the work. The horses, I'm not comparing horses dying to humans. So he was very upset because what happened was they ended up listening to Gedolim in Israel who told them not to. And the Gedolim in Europe told them to rely on the Heta Mechira. So the bottom line is they worked it out at the end. But that was a real Shas HaTchak. So no one says you should lechatchil. We're talking about it's a b'di'evit situation. Obviously, like same thing with chametz. If you don't have any chametz, no one says go ahead and buy more chametz. You could sell it if you have chametz. So then you sell it. So no one's saying lechatchil to do it. How do we deal with the biblical prohibition of lo sechanein then? So different achronim answer, well, different directions. So one is the parameters. Who does lo sechanein apply to? So the issue is, why is there a prohibition? You don't want to give the Ovdei Avodah Zarah a stronghold in the land of Israel. So if you're selling land to them, so that's what you're doing. So someone appoint that only applies to Ovdei Avodah Zarah. But if you find Jews who aren't, not Jews, if you find non-Jews who aren't Ovdei Avodah Zarah, they keep the Zayah Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, so therefore then doesn't apply. So therefore, in fact, originally, I think as I like to say, the Christians are Catholics, those are that's the biggest nafka mina in halacha. You know, different questions, nafka mina affects people. The biggest question is whether we consider them ovdei avodah zarah or not. I don't mean, if a Jew worships that, it's definitely avodah zarah. If a non-Jew worships that, that's the shaila. So it's a big debate about whether Christianity is avodah zarah or not. But Islam isn't, and others. So they have originally they used to sell the land to Christians, so they changed it to Muslims. So therefore, some held there's no prohibition. The prohibition is only to sell it to Ovdei Avodah Zarah. But if people are in Ovdei Avodah Zarah, it's not a problem. Others said, the Avnei Nezer wrote that, he says, when is the Yisur? If you're doing it for yourself, for Tovas Atzmo, if you're selling, making a Mechira for your own benefit. But if you're doing it for, or I should say, if it's for Tovas Hagai, if the prohibition is if you're doing it to doing a seal, you're benefiting them. But if you're doing it for the benefit of yourself, then it's permitted. So the reason why you're selling the land is to avoid the prohibitions of Shemitah. So you're doing it with Tovas Atzmo, so that's not under the prohibition of Lo Sechanein. And others point out that Lo Sechanein is only if it's, the issue is permanent. But if you're just selling the land for 2 years, so then you're not giving them this. You know, everyone knows it's temporary, and therefore it doesn't apply. In fact, that gets into, so on the counter side, they, you know, some want to say that everyone knows the sale is not a good sale because they want to, are they registering it in the real estate books? Like, I guess you have to register in the deeds and that. So they don't. So the question is, we don't do it on Mechiras Chametz. We don't register that we sold everything and whatever the official place is to register stuff. So someone say you don't need to. That's one of the issues the Chazon Ish raised. And others want to say it's more how does the optics don't look good when the New York Times says a headline, Jews sell Eretz Yisrael to their enemies, the Arabs. Everyone knows what a joke it is. So the different issues with this, but the biblical issue is Lo Sechanein. So therefore, the different answers why it wouldn't be a problem. It only applies to Ovdei Avodah Zarah. It only applies if you're doing it for their benefit. Here, I'm doing it for my benefit, and as well, you're only doing it temporarily. So it's like giving. If you're just giving, and some say giving it to them isn't under the principle of selling. So the Achronim give different reasons how you could avoid the prohibition of Lo Sechanein. So that would be the main issue. Then there's other secondary issues. That's where the Chazon Ish discusses that. Who's is it 8:30 or not?
8:29.
Yeah. So who's leading services?
Yeah, what's age?